Grace, mercy, and peace to each one of you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Would you please bow your head with me? Oh, gracious Father, we come in the name of Jesus. We ask in his name that you would fulfill your promise again this morning, that you will accompany your word and that it will not return to you void. To that end, grant your presence here this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Can a duck pull a truck? That was a question maybe you heard this weekend. I don't know if you heard it, but I heard it. It was in the sporting news. A question that actually had to do with confidence. Can a duck pull a truck? Depends on the size of the truck, I guess, doesn't it? I don't know. I've never seen one pull a truck. But it had to do with confidence. Confidence can be a good thing, but often it's not a good thing. Sometimes it can be misplaced. Sometimes we can be confidently wrong. This question, or this answer to a question, actually was answered by the University of Florida Gator football cornerback, Quincy Wilson, when he was asked the question about the upcoming game, whether Tennessee would beat the Florida Gators, Tennessee Volunteers. And he answered with that question, can a duck pull a truck? And then he said this. He went on to say, a duck can't pull a truck and Tennessee can't beat Florida. That's what he said. And something like that. And he had a pretty good reason for believing that, because for the last 11 games that they've played, Tennessee has lost to Florida. And so they played last Saturday, and I guess a duck can pull a truck. I don't know. Because when the game was over, Tennessee had beaten Florida 38-28. I would say that Wilson was overconfident in his team's ability, or at least in what his team was going to do that day. Now let's listen to our lesson for this morning, shall we? And listen to the confidence in Jesus' voice in the second sentence of this lesson. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. I'd say that's confidence there in Jesus' voice, wouldn't you? When he says those words, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. He's confident. The question is he overconfident? I'd like to give you two reasons why he is not overconfident when he makes that statement, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And the first reason is because of his person, that is who he is. And the second reason is because of his work or his works. Okay? Notice what he says again. He says, I give to them eternal life. I give to them eternal life. Who is it that can give eternal life to anyone? Only the person who's in charge of eternity. Only the person who's in charge of eternal life, the person who's in charge of heaven, the person who's in charge of everything can give eternal life to anyone. That's God himself. Jesus is making a claim here. In fact, it's the same claim he's been making all through chapter 10 when he started off by saying, I am the good shepherd. Jesus is claiming to have the same power and the same ability that God has. I've heard lots of times, and maybe you've heard it too. In fact, I'll bet you've heard it, that you've heard someone say, well, basically all religions are the same. They teach us how to live with one another, and they teach good morals and things like that. They're basically all the same. But, you know, that thought is one of the most foolish thoughts on this planet. Nothing can be more foolish than that. You know what Jesus taught about? In his teaching, he taught about himself. He also taught about human nature. But he really was teaching about himself. So, for example, he says things like this. He says, he is the life. He says, he is the shepherd. He says, he is the door. He says, he is the light and the life of men. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by him. Those are claims that Muhammad never made. Confucius never made those claims. Buddha never made those claims. Only one person has ever made those claims and proved it. Other people have made those claims. They are in the mental hospital when they say they are God. But Jesus is claiming to be God, and he showed that he was. And that brings us, secondly, to the second reason that he can make this boast, and it is not overconfidence. The second reason is his work. And see, his works prove the first thing that we said, that is who he is. So he claimed to be God, and he showed that he was. He showed it by the miracles that he performed while he was on this earth, right? In fact, if you'll read all of chapter 10, you will read this statement from Jesus where he said, if you won't believe me, and he's talking to people like Pharisees and scribes who didn't believe in him, says, if you won't believe me, and he's pleading with them, at least believe my works. His works for 3 years during his ministry were designed for a special purpose. And the purpose was to show people that he was the Messiah, that he was God in the flesh, God the Son. So what are these works? Oh, there's a lot of them. They range from walking on water, turning water into wine, feeding 5,000 people with 2 fish and a few loaves of bread, raising people from the dead. See, he's showing he is in control of the laws of physics. Now, who could that be, right? Only God. God the Son. But more than that, he rose from the dead himself. And that right there was the clincher, wasn't it? The clincher. Who can raise himself from the dead? Only someone who has power over death. And so his works are proof that his claim to be proof of his claim to be the Messiah. They were seen by thousands of people, so that even those who didn't believe in him, even those who hated him, were forced to admit that he had done these works. And so by his works we know that his word is true. If his word is true, then the first part of this passage is true when he says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I know them, he says. Now, see, that ought to give you confidence. He knows you. He doesn't just know that you're somebody in this vast sea of humanity. He knows you. He knows his sheep. He knows you intimately. He knows your favorite sport. He knows your favorite food. He knows the times when you have lost your confidence in him. He knows the times when you've lost your confidence in his goodness, that he loves you. He knows you've done that. He knows the times when you've doubted his existence. He knows it all. And you know what? He still calls you his sheep. Now, that ought to give you confidence. But does that ever insult God when we do that, right? When we doubt him? I've done that too. So did Luther, and so did Peter, and a host of Christians. And yet he still calls you his sheep. And he can call you his sheep because it was his own blood that washed those sins away. I know my sheep. Man, that ought to give you confidence. confidence to go out and live for Him, to really believe that all things really are working out for your good, to be joyful because He knows you, knows your name, and He loves you. He knows it all, everything about you, and He still wants you to be His own. He still wants you to live with Him forever in heaven. So you might be overconfident in yourself, but you can never be overconfident in your Lord Jesus Christ. So repose your confidence in Him, wouldn't you? And the peace that passes all understanding will keep your heart in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Would you please bow your head with me again? Our gracious Father, You graciously forgive us all our sins, and You abundantly provide for all of our needs. Now we ask that by Your Holy Spirit, You would establish in our hearts a joy-filled, confident faith in Your mercy, and teach us also then to be merciful to our neighbors, that we may not judge or condemn others, but willingly forgive all and judge only ourselves. Let us lead blessed lives in Your fear through Your dear Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.